The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. It's an interesting study that we have taken upon ourselves the last few weeks, taking the Word of God and discovering who we are from our past, that we may appreciate the present, that we can plan and prepare for a future. We know that the church is an instrument of God's design and order. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Then God makes two promises. He says, "Then will I hear from heaven, and I will what? Forgive their sins." And then what's He going to do for our country? "I'll heal your land. I'll heal Asheville and Buncombe County and North Carolina and America." And you see, that's why we need to go back to church. Around the auditorium, we see banners telling us that we need to be reminded about the importance of the local New Testament church. As a person, you need to know yourself and to understand your values. And to do that, you have to understand and know your past, your family, your friends, your mentors, your faith. As a family, a community, or a country, let alone a church, we need to know that this local New Testament church is our heritage. God blessed and loved this world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, John chapter 3 and verse 16. And Jesus loved us so much that He gave His life for our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 reads, "For He hath made Him," listen to this part, "to be sin for us." He literally took our place, that the wrath and the judgment of God would fall upon His darling Son instead of falling upon me and falling upon you. How can we ever thank Him enough? And how could we ever praise Him enough? The saved, the redeemed, the born again, the believers, the sinners that have been changed by the grace of God. We've all become the bride of Christ. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9 says, "Come hither, and I will show thee the bride." And then notice that next phrase, "the Lamb's wife." In other words, after salvation, you literally are engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be the bride. We're headed to a marriage in heaven. And we're going to be wed for all eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb's wife. Isn't that a powerful verse? You think about that. And the bride, the Lamb's wife, is the church. All the saved, all the Old Testament saints, the early church, the 144,000 Jews, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 12, Revelation 14, the tribulation saints, all the seven churches that had redeemed, they make up the final bride or the Lamb's wife. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 13. It takes all to fill New Jerusalem and to be the bride of Christ. In today, the day and hour that we're living in, it's the local New Testament church today that will be a part of that great filling of heaven with the bride of Christ. The New Testament, the Bible-believing church of today, will be a part of the bride of Christ. You think about it, on earth today, this is our privilege, this is our responsibility to be in the bride of Christ. That's why there's a sacredness and a responsibility with the local church. A lot of people have the misconception that this local church is just something that men put together for the convenience of men. Or that there's something we should do every week so Pastor Ralph will have a job and the staff will have a place to work. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not my idea. This is God's idea. God orchestrated, God planned, and God purposed the local church. It was of His design. And when you begin to read the Word of God, and you take your Bible, and you start going through it, guess what you discover? You discover that the word church is found 80 times in the Bible. Over 274 times, you find the word church defined. Now, God not only talks about it, but He said, this is what it does. This is the function. This is how it carries itself. And this is the responsibility. I was fascinated to read again and to be reminded that the book of Acts even speaks of the church, the bride, in the Old Testament. Isn't that something? The foreshadow and the foretypes of what's on the way. God even recorded it in His precious word. Acts chapter 7, verse number 38. This is He. Who is this? That was in the church in the wilderness. God said, I had a church in the wilderness. You did? Yes, He did. He had a tabernacle in the wilderness. And over that tabernacle was the Shekinah glory. And if the Shekinah glory is there, God the Father is there. If the Shekinah glory is there, God the Son is there. If the Shekinah glory is there, the sweet Holy Ghost is there. And He said, I had a church even in the wilderness. And what was the example? What was the study? He said, the Israelites are called out of Egypt. Egypt's a type of the world. And He took the redeemed. He took the chosen out of the world. He took Israel out of Egypt. And there He established them. And there He established their comings and their goings. And He said, now that you are set apart, now that you are called out, I want you to represent Me to this world. God the Father is in heaven. He said, I'm a spirit. I cannot change. Jesus lived here for 33 and a half years. He ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father. And the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit is in every believer. So just as God called Israelites out of Egypt, He said, I need you to walk in front of them and represent Me to the world of that day that Israel has been called out by Jehovah God, that their God is alive. He's not a stone God. He's not a dead God. He's not a God carved out by hands. He's a living God with eyes to see, ears to hear, hands to reach out and touch. Let them see that I am alive. You represent Me to them. But He didn't stop there. Because then we come to the New Testament. And He said that we're going to be called out. That's that Greek word ecclesia. That we're called out of the world. And what is our job in this day and hour that we're living in? It's the same responsibility. We're to represent God to this world. Now, that group of believers there that trusted God, the Israelites, they were pointing to the day that the Messiah would come. We believe He's coming. By faith we believe there's going to be help and there's going to be hope. And they were called out to represent God. Now, we are called out to represent God. We say, praise the Lord, He did come 2,000 years ago. Now, we're going to rejoice that He's coming again. Help is on the way. Hope is on the way. Because we have the abiding presence of a holy God. You begin to see the connection of that church in the wilderness. And you begin to see what God was doing with our responsibility for this generation. Jesus Christ is literally the head of the church. Matthew 23. And then also in the book of John, chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, we see that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is actually in the midst of the candlesticks. Jesus, the foundation of the church, we find Him in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 2. And what does he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11? He said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. And what is that foundation? Which is Jesus Christ. In this unsettled world, in this afraid world that we're living in, you need a foundation for your home. You need a foundation for your marriage. You need a foundation for your children, your teenagers, your young adults. We need a foundation for the public school. We need a foundation for the government. We need a foundation for America. This isn't the time to vote God out. This is the time to drop to your knee and say, oh God, don't leave us in this day and hour. We need you today. The opportunity that we have as a people is that we would know and understand, Brian, how close we are to the coming of the Lord and how desperately we need Him. The purpose of the church is to preach. The purpose of the church is to teach. God said for us to make disciples. He told us to evangelize. In the New Testament, we find the word preach 50 different times. We find the word preached, past tense, 61 times. We find preaching 27 times. We find preachers 3 times. And we find the preachest 1 time. And we find the preacher represented 11 times. All in the New Testament. Why? Because the job, the ordinance, the birth, the life, the purpose, the being of the New Testament church is to confirm the gospel as you find it in Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew 9, in Acts 1, and in Hebrews 2. And then he said we're to make disciples in 1 Timothy 3 and in Romans chapter 15. All of that, the church, Christ died for the church. He loves the church. God planned and purposed the local church. And it's fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, many people don't realize how many times the Bible talks about the church. Do you know that God not only said that Jesus was to be the head of the church and the foundation of the church and that we were to build upon Him, but He said, I want you to get together every week. He admonished us to be together. Did you know the Bible even says we're to have an accountability, listen to this, to the local church. He said you need to have a membership role. You need to be accountable to a local church. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about that membership role, that accountability. He said that you'll get together and you'll vote. When we have someone join our church or we have business, we call the church into session and we vote. And the Bible talks about that in chapter 1 of Acts, verses 15 through 26. He talks about ordination and commissioning in Matthew 28. He said you ought to have regular meetings in Luke 24 and verses 49 through 52. He said you ought to study the laws and doctrine, Acts 8 and 14, Acts 11, Acts 22, and Acts 11 and verses 22 through 30. He said you need to go through these things together. And he said, by the way, you're going to have to transact business. There's going to have to be business carried in the name of the church. Acts 14, verse 27. Acts 20 and verse 17. And then he goes on to talk about to have a church and to do business, we'll have to have leaders in the church. And he said, those leaders will have to have responsibilities. And do you know in the Word of God, there's 29 different functions that the leaders of the local church areas of life, from making decisions to literally evangelizing the world. That's why you cannot forsake the local church. God commanded it, God demanded it, and God said, your faithfulness is important for you to be in His will. If you want to be in God's will, the first place to begin is to be faithful to the local church. That's that first place of duty. And I know, I understand there's all kinds of fads, religious fads. I know there's one now, no religion, no church, and I'll worship in my heart, I'll worship at home. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand what the Bible says, and the Bible's not a book of fads. It's a book of what God says we ought to study, and God requires obedience, and God requires respect of His holy word. And Acts chapter 2:42, He said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And to be in fellowship, you've got to come to church and to be a part of the body of Christ. Acts 2:46, with one accord in the temple. You've got to be together at the temple, the local church. And you know the part I like about that? It is in that same chapter. It says after church, they started going to each other's house. Somebody fried a chicken. Somebody had warm banana pudding with crushed pineapple and made a potato salad with a little sweet pickles and no onions with extra mayonnaise for the preacher. Going to get an amen on that. And they ate chicken and they fellowship and they went from house to house breaking bread and talking about how good God is and how good church was and what God had just done. They celebrated the fact that their God was alive and well. They celebrated they had the Lord and they had each other. They said, there's one place I can always fit in. It's church. There's one place I'll never be an outsider. It's church. It's one place I don't have to have money to get in the door. It's church. There's one place my clothes don't have to match. It's church. It's God ordained the local church. A place that you can belong. God's not impressed with your IQ. God's not impressed with your degrees. God's not impressed with how much we own or how much we don't own. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And that place of healing and that place of help is the local church. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together. He didn't say comfort yourself at home alone. He said comfort yourself together. That we're to edify each other. You don't understand it unless you were had to be set aside to be an under shepherd. But do you know when I walk in here in the morning and you're in your place, I am comforted. I may have faced hell, but I can be comforted. I'm not alone. Somebody else loves him. Somebody else is praying. Somebody else knows how it feels to walk through this old dreary world and drag a load of problems. But we're together. We're going to get time out. Heaven's going to hold hell back. Angels are going to let the presence and the power of God rest upon His people. That there'll be a refuge in the place of storm. There'll be a place where the church can gather together. And if God has to, He'll bring a SWAT team from glory and throw them all over this building. Hold back the demons of hell. Cut the church loose that they can love God and worship Him in liberty and love. There's no place, David, like the church. I've been in a lot of places, I've seen a lot of things, but I've never been anywhere where I've had God do something for me like He's done at church. God has lightened my load. God has given me Holy Ghost, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. God has given me glory, vitamins from another world. God has set me free. Only God can do that at the local church. You can't buy it at Walmart. You can't get it at the mall. It's the presence of God for this day and for this generation. Only God can give you that. And the place He does it is when we get together in fellowship. Why do you think the devil tries to get you out of church? Why do you think the devil tries to discourage you? Why do you think the devil tries to hurt your feelings so you'll stay home. Why do you think the devil wants you to look at somebody else? Well, they're not carrying their weight over in the Awana ministry. They're missed two practices in the choir. And they still had them sing a special. Honey, get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes on King Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about your feelings. It's about Him. He's coming back. And He's trying to get the church ready for the coming of the King. He ordained, He orchestrated, He planned, He purposed the local church. I watched my dad give his health and his life for this church. I used to get angry at my father. But I didn't understand until God took him out of this world and took him onto the house and said, "Here, boy, stick up your sword here by the creek and wait on your son to get here. You'll study war no more." And then he reached down and laid that mantle on my back. And then I said, I can't hold that up. All those sheep, all those broken hearts, other sons out in sin. Oh, God, they just buried their baby. She's crying at her mother's grave. God. He said, "Here, just lean back on me. I'm the great shepherd. You're just a baby shepherd. You're an under shepherd. I'll hold you up. And we'll take these next few days and years together. Because it's the church I died for. And because you love them, you'll make mistakes. You'll do it backwards, and I'll bless it." And people go, "How'd that happen?" It's because it's the church. It has nothing to do with the pastor. It has nothing to do with the staff. It's the church. God loves the church. He loves His people. 1 Timothy 4:13. "Till I come." Oh my goodness. Give attendance to reading. You can't give attendance to reading if you're not here to hear it. You got to be here. To exhortation, to doctrine. You say, "Well, I just like the Sunday morning service." Guess what? He comes Sunday night, comes Wednesday night, hangs out sometimes over here working like yesterday. And you say, "Lord, it's a Sabbath." I'm still on the throne. And I had people all over this property praying yesterday that God would bless us today. Our duty at church to each other. Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider one another." You can't consider each other if you're not here to provoke unto love and good works. You have to be here to help each other, to work, to express. And when you see the weekend news and it's all bad, and you say, "Boy, something's about to happen," well, then you have to read Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." And you say, "Well, Brother Ralph, there's some people out of church. I've been missing some faces." Yeah, and guess what? It's because of where we are prophetically. Because right before the Lord comes back, the devil's going to try to reach into the house of God and take even saved people and get them on the sidelines, so the church will be weak for the attack of hell when it comes in these last days. And if you see somebody missing, then you ought to get nervous and go pray and say, "God, help them to understand where we are, what's going on." Because it says, some will not go to church. Let me read it to you. Verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some," what? "Is. But exhorting one another." "And so much the more as you see that they approach it." You know, you don't always understand what God's doing. You can't always explain what God's doing. But the local church is that place.